Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
I am not I don't know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We lose this 15 minutes, but that's all right. We thank the Lord for this opportunity to come and hear the word this morning. Father, we bless you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. God, we thank you for us giving us a nice day that we could truly get some work done. Oh, God, we ask that you rain down on us today. For only you are holy, only you are righteous, God. You are the great I am, the lily of the valley. You are the early morning star. So, Father, we thank you. We ask you to bless this bishop. Bless this apostle that give their time, oh, God, to glorify you, to exalt your name, to magnify your name. God, we ask you to speak to them. Let your word come alive to them this morning, oh, God. As they minister to us, your people, oh, God, that we might hear from heaven today and that our lives might grow more and more like yours. Oh, Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts, oh, God. Bypass our mental faculties and go directly to our spiritual heart, oh, God. And, God, if there be anything in us, oh, God, that is not like you, we ask that you remove it today. God, allow us to hear from heaven. We want to hear from heaven, oh, God, that we might begin to grow deeper and deeper in love with you as you are already in love with us, oh, God. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. Lord, touch the four corners of the earth today with this word, oh, God. Let the earth be, oh, God, be energized, oh, God, from what comes from heaven today through these two people of God, this man of God, this woman of God that's dedicated their life to living for you, oh, God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, apostle and bishop, and let the Lord, use you.
Praise the Lord, God. Thank you, apostle. Glory to God. God be all the honor and praise. Thank you for the introduction, Apostle Calendar. And we bless our Block Talk Radio line. Hallelujah. We're privileged to be present on this day that we might bring a message forth, for the Apostle and I might bring a message forth to you. We have a topic of the good fight. And we'll be in the 2 Timothy, at the beginning of the verse 1. And we ask, Father God, that you bless everyone on the line. And thank the Lord for all those who are alive on this day. Oh, and if anyone has, you know, well, we pray. We hope, we have hope that they are saved. Some we know are saved and some we know that may not be saved, but we hope that everyone in the sound of our voice, if there's anyone in their family who has crossed over, that they have, you know, asked God for forgiveness for all their sins before they did cross over. You know, it's a hard thing when a family member is gone, but you know you won't see them again until we're all called, and it's hard to know that that family member has departed, or a very good friend, not necessarily a family member, but someone who has been in your life for many years, maybe, or maybe just a short time, but they've gotten very close to you. But we pray that everyone accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that these who have departed from this life has accepted Jesus as their Savior. There's no other way. There's no other way to God's kingdom except through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. So, Father, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Be to the Lord God Almighty. The second Timothy, second book of Timothy, is that Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus promised us all that we would be at peace with the Lord if we obey his rules. We have to fight them, because there's so many people against us. That's why our topic is the good fight. Good fight. We must fight for our salvation. And the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So I urge you to listen carefully. And if you have a Bible, please turn it to the book of 2 Timothy, beginning at chapter 1, 2 Timothy. I'm going to go through this probably quickly because we had late start. It was not our fault, nor was it the apostles' fault. Things just occur, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for us, you know, coming on, but I mean, if things occur where you can't always be exactly on time, but God's word is always on time. He may not come when we call him, but believe me, he's right on time. He's there when we need him, not when we want him. The good fight. First of all, we must pay attention to what's going on around us. Just as I was saying this, a wind advisory came over my phone. I have notifications, and it alerted me just maybe not even 30 seconds ago. It alerted me that we have high wind advisory here. We've been getting these for the last couple of days, and for us, you know, what me. Overnight, it was the temperature change, and it never changes this early. In September, it never changes like this. It was in the low 50s, the high 60s, I'm sorry, the low 60s and the high 50s overnight. And that's unusual for this time of year. It's usually at the end of October where we start to get weather with temperatures like that. The latter part of October. But as we look and see, we're fighting all over the world, actually wars, according to scripture, wars and rumors of wars. And, you know, people think about world wars and, you know, wars where people, where gun battles and, you know, there's many soldiers out there fighting and whatever. But we have wars every day on the streets of our cities, we have wars. And the closer it gets to Christ's return, the worse things are going to get. And we have to pay attention. The earth itself is crying out. The earth is crying out. And we notice about the weather changes, places where we have bad weather, where we never used to have. Or Florida was has a saying, or they used to have a saying to the people up north, when you have it bad, we still have it good. Florida has been hit with a hurricane, a Cat 4 hurricane, you know, twice. It caused one end of Florida, went out into the Gulf of Mexico, and now it's going back up the north end. So it just hit inland this morning, about 4 or 5 o'clock. It just hit inland on the most northern part of Florida. They got it bad, and it's going back out into the Atlantic, and no telling in which direction it may proceed from there. It may just loop back around into the Gulf. We don't know. And we've been having some of these vicious storms for the last few years, and it seems to get progressively worse. Not seem to, they are getting progressively worse. Earthquakes. We had one tremor in the state of Louisiana that I know about in my whole lifetime, which was just a few miles from where we live here on Slidell, right near Lake Pontchartrain, on the other side of Lake Pontchartrain, as soon as you get into Orleans, into eastern Orleans. There was a little place called Irish Bayou, and they had a tremor there quite a few years ago. And they didn't want to frighten anybody. They didn't even broadcast it. You know, but by me being in law enforcement, we knew that we had to react if needed. So they let us know, but they didn't let the general public know because they didn't want to panic everybody. We, you know, my grandmother and grandfather never saw earthquakes, and they lived through many, many years. You know, and progresses, as time progresses, we have terrible things that's going to happen. It was predicted 400 years before Christ was born, and the prophets were saying that they were going to have earthquakes in diverse places. We don't know. We must be prepared. So we have to fight. We have a good fight, the fight of faith. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, the apostle, who was one who persecuted the Jews, he was killing Christians. It's the Jews, I'm sorry. He was killing them. You know, he's throwing them in jail. He was ordering. Pardon me,
I'm sorry. He was persecuting them as well.
Oh, yeah, he was persecuting them. Yes, yes.
He's all gone today.
Oh, yes, yeah, they're still. The Jewish people are still persecuted.
All of the people of God.
All of the people of God. It's so sad. You know, they say they believe in God. You know, but Bill Withers made a song called "You," and that part of that song says, "He can't understand why a man says he loves Jesus, but he can't stand a Jew." To me, that's ludicrous. You know, you love Jesus, but you can't stand a Jew. Jesus, the Son of God, who is Jewish and died for our sins and iniquities. Wake up, world. Wake up, world. In America, we have been blessed for many, many centuries. We haven't had wars on our soil in many years. You know, but open out like world wars. We haven't had things like that. You know, the Confederate and the Union Army had wars on our soil. That was many, many years ago. But this time, see another major war, another world war. And I'm led to believe that it's going to be on American soil. I mean, they keep trying to hit us with different things and be fighting back. But according to what the prophets have said, it's going to be on American soil. It looks like it appears that that's what's going to happen. We don't know. But we have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the Apostle Paul, being a man who always condemned the Christians, he went through a complete change on the road to Damascus. He went through a complete change, and he became a Christian, and he fought a good fight of faith. And I believe that the Apostle Paul is in glory, you know, because he really fought and died fighting. Yes, he did. And most of his ministry, he was in jail. He was writing letters from jail, getting it out to the people he still was teaching, even from a jail cell. And we have to have faith like Paul had, you know. We don't have to go through a Damascus experience and lose our sight for 2 or 3 days and, you know, and be knocked down, you know. But we have to think, open the eyes of our hearts, and that would be our minds. We cannot be taken into paradise unless accept Jesus as our Savior. There's no other way. If you read these Holy Scriptures and believe what you're reading, which is all truth, these Scriptures were inspired by God. Man wrote them, but they were the people who wrote the Scriptures was inspired by God. There's no way that one man, and when they write these Scriptures, there's no way that one man could tell you what was going to happen 400, 500 years later and be so accurate. You know, they didn't have computers. They didn't have none of that stuff. It had to come from God. If you don't believe anything, believe in God. But he is our only salvation, Jesus Christ. only salvation. Now, Apostle, is there any particular place that you want me to read from?
We're going to start in chapter 2.
Chapter 2? Okay.
Very short chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We did chapter 1, and basically that chapter was about
Let me come near you so I can hear you better.
Encouraging young Timothy about keeping order in the church. It was about order in the church and not allowing others to come in with some strange doctrine. You know, we have to stay within what we are already taught.
As they're doing now.
Yeah, these two men were evil, and we're talking about Hymenaeus and also Alexander. So we talked about those, and Paul was especially concerned about them, especially very emphatic about Alexander, because Alexander was very, very, very unfit for ministry, and he had done some terrible things. And so Paul was warning Timothy that he needed to address these issues.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to address these issues.
Got it.
So the first book, again, I say, it was about order in the church. We must keep order in the church. We must follow the fivefold, and we also must know. We must know the spirit of people. God said you would know them by the spirit. And we have people in the church now that have positions in the church, and they don't have the right spirit. They don't have the spirit of God. And these two men did not have the right spirit. They had a spirit of Satan. They had a spirit of evildoers. And so young Timothy was reminded by his mentor, his spiritual father. He was reminded, he was talked to about given counsel, that's for better word here. He was given counsel about these two men and about keeping order in the church. That's what chapter 1 was all about. When we summarize it, that's what it means, just keeping order in the church, being mindful of what we should be doing and how to do it. And so Paul is commending this young man. He's very pleased with him, but he's very young. He's only 20-something years old, and Paul is telling him encouraging Timothy and telling him that he's a true son because he knows he's a true son and he trusts him, and that meant so much that had to mean so much to young Timothy. That he would be trusted, especially at his age. He was a very anointed young man, given so much insight by God and so anointed, walking holy in the Lord. And so in the first letter from Paul to Timothy, he's just giving him that encouragement to continue on in the faith. He said to him, as I counseled you, and this is in verse 3, chapter 1, just a little bit more in chapter 1. He said, as I counseled you when I was leaving for Macedonia, stay on in Ephesus. He's giving him directions here. And this is what leaders are supposed to do. We're supposed to be given directions by those that are our leaders. And as we do that, we have to know how to follow in order to lead. We have to learn how to follow in order to lead. I have to say that again, because some people don't want to follow. They just want to jump into a leadership position. But we have to be trained for these positions, and we have to have a good trainer. We have to have one who's listening to the Lord, who's taking their directives from Yeshua. Hallelujah. So we get the directions. A good leader will get his directions from Yeshua and then pass it on to those that are under his leadership. And so we have to be very careful what church we're attending and what leader we are following. But again, I say we must know how to follow in order to lead. Hallelujah. We must know how to respect authority. And then when we are in a leadership position, then we will know how to lead. But while we're going through, we have to fight. It's a fight because there is much trouble that comes to the church, much trouble that comes to the people of God because of what we believe, because of the one that we do believe in, and his name is Yeshua. Amen? He's our Messiah, Messiah Yeshua. And so Paul is telling this young man, whom he loves very, very much, and he's letting him know how much he cares for him, which he already knew, but it's good when you hear it. It's good when you hear from your leader that you're doing a good job, and also it's good to hear from your leader when he sees something or she sees something that's going on that you may not recognize, or maybe you recognize it, but you're still allowing it to go on in the church. And but what Paul was saying to this young man, you have to stand up. You have to stand up to these two, because Paul knew them. He knew their spirit, and he knew about the chaos that was being caused in the church. And so he said that these people, they have a different doctrine. Just to summarize a little bit, he said they are devoting their attention in verse 4. They're devoting their attention to bits and things that they believe in. These people divert people to speculating instead of doing God's work. Instead of doing God's work, instead of believing what God has, they are causing diversion. They are causing, you can even say they are causing that separation, you know, that division in the church. And so we don't want division in the church. And you have many people that will come in and cause division in the church, cause they have jealousies, they have backbitings. And Paul names so many things that they're doing. He says they believe in Torah. They want to be teachers of Torah, but they understand neither. They understand neither, okay? They don't even understand the Torah. We know that the Torah is good. This is what Paul is saying, provided one uses it in the way the Torah itself intends. And they weren't doing that. So he says, we are aware that Torah is not for a person who is righteous, but for those who are heedless of Torah and rebellious, ungodly, sinful, wicked, worldly, for people who kill their fathers and mothers for murder, the sexually immoral, both heterosexual and homosexual. So Paul is just laying it out, these things that he sees that these people are doing, and they're not following in the ways of God. And so because Timothy is young, he's telling Timothy, you got to stand up. You have to stand up against these people, stand up against these things that they're doing. And I made it very clear, and this word is making it very clear, and I expressed on yesterday that we are not to fight people. We are not to fight against the people. We fight against the sin. We fight against what they're doing. We're not supposed to fight people, because people are not the problem. They're not the problem. It's what the enemy is causing people to do, especially in the church. And so Paul says, the good news was entrusted to me, and this is, I'm in chapter 1 right now, and round about verse 12. It is verse 12, as a matter of fact. I was right on. And I thank the one who has given me strength, the Messiah, Yeshua, our Lord, that he considered me trustworthy enough to put me in his service. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. That God trusts. God trusts that he can use you, trustworthy enough that we can be used in his service. But we have to be ones whose vessels are clean and pure. Yeshua Messiah will not use us if we are not pure of heart, if our mind has not been transformed into doing the will of the Father. We have to be sanctified and set apart from this world. Sanctification means set apart. We have to be set apart from the worldly things, from the worldly mindset. The carnal mind can never be used in the church setting, in what God wants for the church. The carnal mind is the worldly mind. The carnal mind does everything the flesh tells it to do. Amen. It doesn't want to do what's right. It doesn't want to do it God's way. It's fight against the ways of God. But we have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to fight the good fight. And in order to fight the good fight, we have to stay strong in order for us to endure. So as we move into chapter 2, the first chapter is definitely about keeping order in the church. And this is what Paul is commanding young Timothy that he must do, and this is very good counsel. So we have to make sure that we are in a church where there's really good leadership, where there's really teaching, good teaching, teaching of the doctrine of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so this is where we need to be. We have to be very careful who we're allowing to teach us, who we're allowing to lead us. Amen. And so we must pray. And as we pray, God will show us where we are. He will show us who we're dealing with, because God said you know them by their spirit. But the only way to know them by their spirit is to be following in the ways of the Lord, following in the Spirit of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. And when we do that, we're on the right path. We have to stay on the right path, because there are leaders that are ungodly leaders. They're not godly leaders. And the enemy is leading them. Ungodliness is about the enemy. It's about Satan. It's all about Satan. So we must be very careful. Hallelujah. Because Paul says these people, they kill their fathers, their mothers, they're murderers, they're sexually immoral. They both heterosexual and homosexual. They're immoral. They're slave dealers, liars, perjurers. He see all of this in these people. Anyone who acts contrary to sound teaching that accords with the good news of the glorious and blessed God, anyone who comes against that is ungodly. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So the good news was entrusted to me. And I thank the one who has given to me strength, the Messiah Yeshua, our Lord, that he considered me trustworthy enough to put me in his service, as Paul, even though I used to be a man who blasphemed, and Bishop just talked about it, how he persecuted, and that he was so arrogant. But I received mercy, he says, because I acted in unbelief, not understanding what I was doing. He says, I didn't understand. I didn't know. Our Lord's grace overflowed to me with trust and love that comes through the Messiah, Yeshua. So here is a statement you can trust, one that fully deserves to be accepted. Paul's whole life was turned around, as Bishop was alluding to just a moment ago. Hallelujah. So that's what has to happen. We have to have a complete turnaround if we're going to do it in the way that Yeshua would be pleased with. Don't we want to touch God with our obedience? Amen. Touch the heart of God with obedience. Touch the heart of God when we're hungry and we're thirsty for righteousness. It actually touches the heart of God. Hallelujah. You can even say touch the face of God. You know, like when somebody is pleased, my God, and you look in their face and you can see their reactions to the pleasure that's being received from someone or something, and you can see it all over their face, and how we can glow and feel good when something really good is happening, my God. And so this is what was happening. Can you imagine, try to imagine the look on young Timothy's face where his leader is commending him on doing a very good job. He's doing a good job, but some have come, these con artists, we can call them spiritual con artists. They come in and they want to take over, because that's Satan trying to take over. And we have to be aware, so we have to know we got to fight.
We got to fight the good fight of faith, because this evil, these evil entities will come in and they will try their very best to take over. That's what the enemy does. He wants to destroy the Christians. He wants to destroy the church. And that's what he comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. That's his job. And I must say, but glory be to God. All glory be to God. But when I say that, he has power, he has power. And God has told us that. He does have power. And some people want to say, oh, no, he don't. He ain't. Yes, he does. He does have power. And God has told us that. And so let's move on. So Timothy is very, very a lovable young man. I feel that in the scripture, and he has a zeal for the things of God. He has a zeal for his mind is just ready. His mind is ready to receive of whatever it is he needs to receive spiritually. And he's living a decent life. He was trained in holiness. Glory be to God. And so we talked about all of that on yesterday. We talked a very long time about Timothy and how he was encouraged by his leader, by his spiritual father, and how Timothy just let this, how Paul allowed this young man to know how much he cared for him and how much he trusted him, so much so that he was allowed to go on mission trips with Paul, a very young man allowed to go on mission trips with Paul and others who are of the faith. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So he tells Timothy, I put you, this charge, this charge, son Timothy, I put to you in keeping with the prophecies already made about you. You see, before you get into any kind of ministry, before you get into leadership, you will have heard from God about what your assignments are. You will have heard from God about who you are in him, and to whom you have believed, and to who you are, and to whom you belong to. You will have heard. You will know when God allowed you to go in and begin to and start your journey in leadership, then God will have you prepared to do that. He will never allow you to go in untrained. Glory be to God. And he will put divine connections in your life. Glory be to God. To allow you to grow. Amen. To teach you how it's done. Glory be to God. And how do we teach? The best way to teach is by experience. The best way to teach is by modeling what we believe. Glory be to God. That's the best way to teach. That's how Jesus taught, by what he did. And yeah. So as you, wherever you are placed, wherever you are, it's for a purpose. And sometimes we are placed in certain ministries that are not doing what's right. They're not doing everything right. But God allowed you to be there so that you can see, so that you can see what it is that he does not want you to be involved in, what it is that he does not want you to be. Amen. So he will allow you to go to various ministries, the various churches. He has done it with Bishop and I, and we've been involved in several ministries and worked in those ministries. But the Lord allowed us to go. And it got to the point where I was saying, God, I feel like I'm just church hopping. I don't feel good about this, going from this church to that church. But when the time was, when our time was now ended in that ministry, then we had to leave, and we had that feeling, it's time to go now. Spiritually, we knew it was time to go, but we learned so much, and we have seen so many things, good as well as bad. Yeah. Amen. We learned some good, and we saw some bad, but we are not to adapt to the negatives in those ministries. God let us know we are not to adapt to that. We are not to be that way. We are to continue to be walking in the holiness of Yeshua, Messiah, walking in holiness. But God allows us to see, this is what I don't want you to do. This is what I don't want you to do. Because I asked God about that. Why am I going from this place to that place? But God was preparing us for ministry, preparing us for leadership. Amen. We had to experience these things. We had to experience these situations. And he explained that to me. It was for the good. Glory be to God. Because we learned what we should do, what we should not be doing, because God said, this is what I didn't want you to do. And I want you to see how it looks and how it's being done. And so we learned a lot, and we are grateful for every one of those ministries that we worked in. We're very grateful for that because we learned so much. I'm talking about my experience, our experience, Bishop and I. Yeah. I'm talking about that because this is our testimony. Amen. We're not being braggadocious here. We're just talking about what God has done, because one thing we don't want to do, we want to always tell the truth. That's right, Bishop. And we never want to be braggadocious. What we are doing is what God has called us and assigned us to do. This is all about God's business. And we have to be about the business of the Lord, be about the work. But while we're doing the work, we got to be very careful. We got to still know there's a war going on.
Yes.
It's spiritual warfare. And we must fight the good fight. Amen. It's a good fight because it's all about the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
One moment, please. That's okay. We're not going to interrupt the service with any phone calls. Glory be to God. Let me turn this down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Thought I had done that.
Let me say this.
Sure, sir. Go right ahead. You got the floor.
When you said about, Amen. You said just now, so different people showed us what not to do. We were in a good minister, or we thought it was, until the pastor made a statement, and we were in another ministry where the pastor made a statement, and we didn't like what he said. You don't ridicule people because they don't own a Rolls Royce or something. And he was in some ministry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
He was in... He was in some secluded neighborhood outside of the city, but not far, just the next little area over from New Orleans. And, pretty up-to-date houses and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the church members came to ask him some question or something or another. And the man had an old car. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't a Rolls Royce. It was a decent car, but it was bad looking. And he said, don't ever come to my house in a car looking like that. That was uncalled for. And then he brought it to the church when he told the man, don't do that. Don't do that, please. And that taught us a lesson. You're not supposed to do people things like that. That's just horrible. Because you weren't always well off. You weren't always rich. And he came up in the home, and his father was a minister. And only thing his father said was the things that he did himself. The man said, he was a drunk. He said the worst thing he could find is a drunken preacher. He knew the word, but as he got older, he changed his life, and he tried to bring his children up that way. But that eldest son always wanted to ridicule people because his father was a bishop. And oh my God, and just one reason I did not want to wear the title, because of that particular bishop did. Another because. He was always complaining about, this young pastor, he's taking all of my people away from you. No, you were pushing all your people away from you because of the things that you said to people. And he was a very good teacher. And when he got on this role about who's not doing or who didn't do or whatever. You don't expose people. If somebody needs something from this church, you don't say, well, so-and-so, brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, they had to come to me so that the church could help them with their electric bill. Not necessary. If you didn't want to help them, then don't say anything. Don't say anything negative. Everybody runs into hard times. You can be very rich and run into a problem where you have to spend most of your money, or pretty much all of it. You don't want anybody to ridicule you about that. So why should you do it to your brothers or your sisters? You know, and why should you do it to anybody? I've had friends to loan me money, and I found out they were my friends because they loaned me money, and they never said anything to everybody else about it. Loaned me money, and I've done the same thing for the same ones who loaned me money. I didn't say that anything about they needed me. I needed them. They needed me. We all needed God, and God took care of all of us. So why should we condemn our brothers and sisters all the times or come on everybody? For the Lord said, I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. Sometimes you have trouble. So you might just pay your electrical bill, and all of a sudden your lights go out. You know, and now you got to pay another $100. To get your lights turned back on, you might not have the money ready available. You don't want to get ridiculed about that. That's just something that happens. You know, people just, you know, hey, you know.
Hard times happen.
Who knew that your car was going to blow a transmission? You know, you're going to have a pretty new car, and the transmission go out on you. That's not your fault if you had to make a loan, you know, and to get it repaired. But people have a bad habit of, I've got mine, you know, and I'm not worried about you. Don't be that way.
Well, the Bible specifically states that we should not talk about the things that we do
exactly.
And what we give, because he says that you already have your reward.
That's right. Your reward is in heaven. I mean, your reward is your reward.
God will reward all those who diligently seek him. He will reward us for what we do and give. But we're not supposed to sound off about it. We're not supposed to talk about it.
That hurt my heart when he said about that man with that car. Hey, I'm in my neighborhood with that regular car. Well, hey, you know, one time you were driving one.
That's true. That shouldn't have been said. But here's the other thing. That man should not have been going uninvited to the pastor's home.
True.
A meeting could have been set up if the pastor would agree to a meeting.
I know.
It would have to be set up in the church if there was something going on. No, we don't, but what I'm saying is...
Well, he might have to go right away.
Well, maybe so, but we don't know all of that. But what we do know is that we're talking about order here.
Yes.
Right now, there's an order. That's out of order.
Yes, it is.
You don't just show up to anybody's... show up to anybody's house unless you have that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Like with my friends, they know they're always welcome. If a pastor would just come here and ring the bell and show up, or if my friends here, I have friends that I've had since I was a kid, and I know these people, I trust these people, and they can show up here.
Yeah.
You know, but that's because we have that type of relationship.
This
man did not have a relationship with the pastor in that way that we knew about.
We
don't know about it. Mm-hmm. And maybe he felt like the pastor was so friendly, because, you know, this pastor was
very, he was
a people person.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he would talk to you, he'd say things like, my baby, hey, my man, how you doing, man? Glad you came. You know, and very, very friendly. And we really love this pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But those kinds of things are out of order in the church.
True.
Now, if you are friends with somebody and they do something inappropriate and you're talking to that person about that, well, you know, that's between the pastor and that person, or that's a personal friend. And that personal friend knows they're welcome anytime.
Sure.
Just like we trust our son-in-law and my daughter. They have keys to the house. You know, I trust my friend, Prophetess Jeff Lee. Prophetess Jeff Lee can come here. I would trust her with a key to my house. I would trust she and her husband with keys to our home because that's how close we are.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how much we trust each other. Mm-hmm. We have lived together before when we were young. We were children together, and we know each other just that well. There are certain people in my family that I trust like that. I have a cousin that I trust like that. Right. I would allow her, she can come here and do what, you know, she can come any, but it's not all family members we can trust like that.
No.
So we're talking about order, not just order in the church, but we ought to have order in our homes.
True.
And so let's move on. We got a little bit more to cover. Because, you know, we did start late. She did make that point.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on. Again, we want to emphasize that the first book of Timothy is about order in the church. And
yeah.
he was warning Timothy that you got to stand up to these folks. And you got to let them know that we're only going to do it God's way here. Just to summarize here, we're doing it God's way here. And keeping with the order of the church. And when they want to come in and cause division and do all of these evil things and not keeping with the true doctrine of Yeshua Messiah, then they must. Paul even said it was so bad. Paul even said that it was almost like excommunication.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know what? I'm turning them over to Satan. I'm turning them over to Satan because what they're doing is they don't need to be in this church. What they're doing is causing division, anguish, jealousy, division. All of this stuff is going on, backbiting. All of this is going on in the church, and we've got to let them go. It's like excommunication. But he did it in order. Paul describes to Timothy, he tells Timothy that you got to first get one witness.
Mm-hmm.
And discuss it, what's going on. He didn't just tell them, get out of here, you got to go.
Yeah.
No, he allowed them to come into a meeting with the leaders. Yeah. The leaders are going to have a meeting, the elders, the pastor. We're going to have a meeting, whomever that pastor decides who's going to be leaders in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to come together, the leaders. And then it's going to be two, then it's going to be three. And then if there is no change, He's gonna put it before the whole congregation.
Right.
Because that's the order of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there is an issue with leaders or anyone in the church, take it to the leaders. It has to go to the leaders and the leaders. What?
You go to the person yourself.
He's telling Timothy, you got to stand up to these men.
Right.
You have to stand up because he told him. He said these men are evil.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and they're doing things that's against the true doctrine of the church. They're doing ungodly things. They're acting in an ungodly manner. And so he tells them they got to go. He said these people are just evil. So it's just so good that Paul was such a good mentor, such a good spiritual father. Amen. He didn't go fussing with Timothy. He didn't go pointing his finger in Timothy's face. But he went to Timothy with a loving kind, with the loving kindness that we're supposed to have, the patience, the loving kindness and the compassion that we're supposed to have in our hearts.
That's right.
Amen. And that's how he did it. He was gentle with it.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Because these are things that Timothy had to learn and had to know that you got to stand up for the faith. You got to fight the faith.
It's just like
you're not fighting people, though, but you're fighting a good fight of faith. Amen? Glory to God.
You always said about your grandmother, she always had a soft word to speak to people. You know, and it's firm, but soft, you know, gentle. But she would tell you, well, I know you're going to do it right. That's why I'm coming to you. You know, it puts you in the right frame of mind for doing stuff, you know. And we were always taught from young, and I know your mother was the same way, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. You know, if you sour on somebody, they're going to get out your way. So you be kind to them. And they'll tend to listen to someone who talks to them, you know, in a firm but gentle way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Paul was very emphatic here. In verse 3, he said, you have to stop them. You have to stop them.
Yeah.
They are teaching a different doctrine. And he said, you got to stop them. They're devoting their attention to everything that's not like God, to myths and never-ending genealogies and all of the things Paul mentioned here and we talked about yesterday. And he said, the purpose of this order is to promote love from a clean heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere trust.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, some, in verse 6, some by aiming amiss, have wandered off into fruitless discussions. They want to be teachers of Torah, but they're not doing what Torah says. They want to be a teacher of the Torah, but you live in an ungodly life, and you want to bring it into the church and teach an ungodly doctrine. And so let's move to chapter 2. We're going to go to chapter 2 and finish that up today. Glory to God. I keep hearing someone trying to talk or something. I don't know. I guess the phones are not.
Is the other phone?
Oh, not muted. Phone? Not my phone, no. So let's go to verse 2, and we're going to talk about chapter 2, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
and starting in verse 1,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about the good fight and being a Christian. Many times we don't feel like it's a good fight, because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't feel good. Persecution and trials and tests and tribulation, especially the tribulation and the trials, doesn't feel good,
yeah.
But it's good. But it's good when it's allowed by God, it's good. Because it's going to teach us and give us valuable experience that we need as leaders and as people of God. If we are going to lead, we have to know how to follow, and then we'll have others that will follow us. And you want to be walking in the ways of the truth,
amen.
The way, the light, amen, walking
amen.
In the light
welcome
of Jesus.
Back.
And when we're in the light, God will allow us to see.
Mm-hmm.
He'll allow us to see what we need to see and hear what we need to hear. Anytime God has said specifically that you will know them by their spirit, which means we'll be able to see and hear, amen, what's really going on. We'll be able to, like if a person says something, but you know that there's underlying stuff going on. You'll be able to see that there's something else. Even though they're saying one thing, but there's something underlying going on. There's an underlying way.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're saying one thing, but they mean something else.
Mm-hmm.
So God will allow us to see that. That's our God. He's not going to allow us to be abused and misused if we are on track.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be on track. Got to be spending time with the Lord. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can get sharp spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It's called sharpness in the spirit.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's called having the spirit of God, having the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, having, the Holy Spirit showing us that I really am greater in you than he that's in the world. I really am who I say I am. Amen. I am that I am. I am all that you need. I am that I am. All that you need is provided for spiritually and even naturally. God is providing everything you need for your life. And we need the wisdom. We need understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. We need the wisdom first to fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom, is to fear God. And when we fear God, we're going to listen.
Amen.
And we're going to obey because we fear him in a reverent way. Hallelujah. Not in a terrible way, but in a reverent way. And God is just an awesome, mighty, wonderful, merciful, loving, kind, compassionate, gentle God. Amen. And so we know that we can follow and fight. follow and fight, but we fight the word. We don't fight with cuss words. We don't fight with, you know, like literally fist fight, folks. We're talking about a spiritual fight here. Okay, so in chapter 2, it reads, Bishop, I'll read the first one. It reads, first of all, then, I counsel that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all human beings.
First Timothy. Oh, okay.
We're still in First Timothy chapter 2. We haven't gotten to Second Timothy yet, but we'll be studying in this book. And we're going to go here, Second Timothy, verse 1 is where I am.
That's where I was.
Glory to God, glory to God.
Yeah, but that's she had to go back to 1, to chapter 1, to First Timothy.
Yes.
In the Second Timothy, chapter 1.
First Timothy, now we're in chapter 2.
First Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1.
Yes, verse 1.
I think I read that. I think I did.
First of all, then, I counsel that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all human beings. Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm confused here. This is 2 Timothy that you're reading?
1 Timothy.
Okay, you got 1 Timothy. All right. Okay. I know you said 1 Timothy.
Chapter 2.
Oh.
Chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1.
Okay, I got you.
Got it?
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Okay, Bishop.
All right.
Now we're on the same page?
Yeah.
Amen. So he's charging that the intercessions and thanksgivings, prayers, petitions are to be made for all human beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Verse 2 says, including kings and all in positions of prominence, or so that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives, being godly and upright in everything. This is what God, our deliverer, regards as good. This is what meets his approval. Now, this is Paul teaching young Timothy here. So what Paul is saying here, he's giving young Timothy these instructions for effective ministry. That is what he's doing. And if we go to 2 Timothy, I'm just going to skip over to 2 Timothy right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8 through 14, it's exhortation to share. It's called exhortation to share Paul's suffering. And verse 8 reads, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but suffer along with me. Fight along with me, because while we fight, we suffer. But suffer along with me for the gospel, according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been disclosed appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Messiah, who has abolished death and brought to light life and immortality through the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
So this is what he's saying to young Timothy. This is an exhortation to share Paul's suffering. Paul is saying, and what he's letting him know is, you're going to have some suffering. Mm-hmm. As you fight the good fight, you're going to have some suffering. There's no way we can get around this suffering, okay? And he's providing Timothy with these instructions for effective ministry. He says, my child, and he's saying here too in verse 1, that loyalty, that Timothy's loyalty contrasts with those who deserted Paul in Asia. He's telling Timothy, you're the one that I trust. You're the one that stuck by me. And when you go in the book of Acts, you will read more, you will see more about their ministry and the mission work they did together. Mm-hmm. So Paul is referring to those he brought to Christ as his spiritual children. Amen. As his spiritual children. And he's saying that you were very faithful. You were one of the ones that I could trust. Amen.
Amen.
And if we look at 1 Timothy chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 2, he says to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. My true child, my true son, the one I trust. Amen. The one I can trust to do the work. The one that I can trust to follow these instructions that I'm giving you. And when I'm gone, I know that you're going to be all right. Hallelujah. I know you're going to be all right. But he's given him the mentorship that he needs. You know, and even when we are not doing something right, that leader is going to come in, a godly leader is going to come in and say, now, wait a minute, my son, wait a minute, my daughter, let's have a talk. Let's have a talk because I see some things that's going on and you're not paying attention to that. And so because we don't see everything, we don't know everything, we don't hear everything, and when we have people that are divinely connected to us, even prophets, you know, may not see something that's happening right in front of their eyes, may not see something that's happening with them, but they'll be able to see what's happening with others. Yeah. But there may be something that you don't see, that you don't have in view. And your leader will come and say, I've noticed thus and so, and bring it to your awareness. Amen. And when we teach, many times we bring things to people's awareness because none of us don't know what someone's going through. None of us don't know what others, all that others need. But we do know one thing. We all need instruction. We all need to know how to do the will of the Father. We need to know how to make it happen. Amen. We need to know how to remain obedient. Amen. So that's what we all need. It doesn't matter how far you've come in ministry. We will all need help. We're going to need help at some time or another. We're going to need people to have our back. We're going to need those divine connections, those people that God put into your life for his purpose, our lives for his purpose. Hallelujah. So we can stand together in faith and be strong together because we need the whole body. Amen. We need the whole body. Everybody is important. Everybody in the church is important. Keep that in mind. If they're not in a leadership position, they are still important. And as far as God is concerned, he is no respecter of persons anyway, because God will use us all if we allow him to. Amen? And we're all supposed to be used for ministry in some capacity. Glory be to God. So Timothy's loyalty is now being spoken of by Paul. Hallelujah. And Paul is saying that he's talking about his spiritual children. Not all spiritual children are the same, just like not all siblings are the same. You know, not all spiritual children operate the same way, but we are supposed to be obeying God, all of us. We don't operate the same, but we got to operate in holiness. That has to be the same. But not all people minister the same. Not all people have the same assignments. Glory be to God. God has given us all our assignments, and some of us have the same assignment to teach, to preach. You know, we're all supposed to do evangelism. My God, we're all supposed to bring people to Christ when those people are given to us and when we're given the opportunity to do so. We're all supposed to do that. So let's go on. So he's telling Timothy, be strong, Timothy. You must rely on God's power. We must rely on God's power, not our own. And that's what he's saying to Timothy. We got to rely on that. So let's go to the next verse here. Hallelujah. We're still in chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and the topic is the good fight. Hallelujah. And God said, we still, we have to lead quiet and peaceful lives. Paul says being godly and upright in everything. It can't be sometime and it can't be something. We have to do what's right in everything. Be right. Be holy. Be follow the Beatitudes. When we follow the Beatitudes, we get it right. Because the Beatitudes is the way in which we are supposed to do things. That was Jesus Christ's first sermon. The Sermon on the Mount was the Sermon of the Beatitudes. And if you study those Beatitudes and we do what those Beatitudes say, you're going to live a holy life. Amen. So verse 4 says he wants all humanity to be delivered. Hallelujah. And come to full knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire. He wants all humanity to be delivered. It is God's will that no man, it is not God's will that any man perish. And that's what it's saying. In essence, it's saying the same thing. He wants all humanity to be delivered and to come to full knowledge of the truth. We should be praying for full knowledge of the truth. Amen. For God is one, verse 5, and there is but one mediator between God and humanity, Yeshua, the Messiah himself, human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of all, thus providing testimony to God's purpose at just the right time.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Verse 7 says, this is why I myself was appointed a proclaimer, even an emissary. I am telling the truth, not lying. And he's emphatic about it. Exclamation point. I am telling the truth, not lying. A trustworthy and truthful teacher of the way, of the word. Verse 8. Therefore, it is my wish that when the men pray, no matter where, they should lift up hands that are holy. Oh, God. You want to touch the face of God? You want to touch heaven? Huh? Better have some holy hands. They should not become angry or get into argument. Likewise, the women, when they pray, should be dressed modestly and sensibly in a respectful attire. You know, we talk about that attire all the time. It's not respectful to walk in the church with a dress up to your buttocks. Tight clothing. Tight clothing. You know, so we're not going to stay in there. But not with elaborate hairstyles and gold jewelry or pearls. Not elaborate stuff or expensive clothes. Rather, they should adorn themselves with what is appropriate for women who claim to be worshiping God, namely good deeds. Namely good deeds. And it's the same way in respect to the, in retrospect to the men. Men should not be wearing tight clothing. See, all of that of their personal area. You know, parading around with muscle shirts so you can see their muscles and all of that. They have to be modest also. It's for both men and women. And as I've said before, there really isn't any gender in the spirit. Really. Jesus Christ is the bride. And he's the bridegroom, right? And we are the bride,
right.
Men and women.
Right.
But in the natural, it's the woman that's the bride.
There's no sexual
differences. There will be no marrying in heaven, in paradise.
Nope.
We're all married to the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
And that has nothing to do with homosexuality.
Nope.
It's spiritual.
Yeah.
We're all of one spirit.
That's right.
Amen. No gender in paradise. And God looks at us as his spiritual children. Amen. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. Let's move on. We're in about verse 8. No, we're verse 9. Oh, no, we passed verse 9. Praise God. We're moving good. Verse 11. Let a woman learn in peace and be fully submitted. And that's not just for a woman. Fully submitted. God talks about a man being submitted and a woman being submitted, especially in marriage. We're supposed to be submitted, but we're supposed to be fully submitted to the church as well. Men and women are supposed to be fully submitted to the church as well. Mm-hmm. So Paul is teaching young Timothy all of this that he's supposed to, and I'm sure this is a reiteration because I'm sure he's talked to him about it before. But just like we continue to talk about the same word over and over, it's necessary to keep us mindful of the ways of God, keep us walking in the ways of God. Because if we don't continue to hear the word over and over, we can become complacent, like we talked about in the message not too long ago. We can become complacent, and when we become complacent, we can begin to compromise, my God, and then we begin to fall down. Hallelujah. However, the Bible says we fall down, but we get up. A good man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. But we must not take that for granted. We must not take that for granted. Oh, well, I know the Lord's going to forgive me, so I can do this and I can do that and continue to do it. And guess what? God will turn you over as a reprobate. We could be turned over as a reprobate, which means there's no coming back. A reprobate is one that is just, it's just like stubbornness and rebellious. A reprobate is rebellious. I'm going to continue to do what I want to do no matter what I'm told, no matter what I'm taught. I'm still going to go out here and commit this sin and become, and that sin that's done constantly, the same thing over and over, becomes iniquity. And we can spread that even up to the fourth generation. So some of us are living in a state of iniquity anyway because of what's been passed down, but we can be delivered. You can be delivered from that state of iniquity. But if we decide we want to continue in iniquity, God will and is able and will, we will, according to the Bible, become a reprobate, one that's not willing to do what's right. That's simply what it means, not willing to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way, right, Bishop? I'm going to have it my way. Glory be to God. So he's telling Timothy, young Timothy here, be strong. We got to rely on the power of God. If we're going to fight that fight, we got to rely on the power of God and obey God. Mm-hmm. And not do what we want to do. Thing that he's telling young Timothy echoes Paul's command to the Ephesians about spiritual warfare, that we are in spiritual warfare here. As soon as you become born again, you become engaged in warfare. That's for everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But thank God we have God's unmerited favor.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God we have the unmerited favor of God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We have the grace of God to fight. We have the grace and the strength of God to fight the good fight. The good fight. That's what we're talking about. It's very good because it's good for us. It's good for our soul. And we will one day. Jesus Christ for an eternity. Amen. We're fighting for eternal life here. We're fighting for our lives and fighting for the lives of others, not just for us, but for others as well. Because when we are walking circumspectly before God, other people are watching what we do, watching what God's doing in our lives. Amen. And they can see that we're walking a holy walk. Amen. It'll be seen. And then God will openly honor us. God will openly honor us. We don't have to have people to encourage us, although God said that we should. But God said, I will openly honor you. Hallelujah. for the work that we do for the Lord. And this is an open, Paul is openly honoring, he is honoring young Timothy here. Hallelujah, for the work he's doing and for him being trustworthy, for him being one that loves the Lord. When we're trustworthy in terms of doing, walking in the ways of God and doing what God has called us to do, then that's honorable. And God will openly honor us. So you don't really need, you don't have to have anybody have to crave it or want it. Because if we are doing well in the Lord, doing what is honorable in the sight of God, he will have those that will come and honor you. These are divine connections in your life. But with that honor will come rebuke. With that honor will come rebuke. When we're not doing what's right, God wants us to know it so we can straighten it up. It's a good thing. It's really a good thing. So when Timothy was being rebuked about these, you know, talked to about these people that's coming in to do all of the stuff that they want to do and doing it this way, he's not pointing his finger and fussing with him, you know, but he's letting him know, you got to take care of this. You got to stand up to this. So, but only by the grace of God can we do this. Only by the grace of God can we do the will of the Father. Amen. We got to have the empowerment that comes from the power and the authority that we have been given through Yeshua, Messiah. Amen. We have to believe in the Christian life. Believe that it's good. Glory be to God. Believe it and do it. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It's very relative to what we're teaching today. Amen. Fighting the good fight. The good fight. 2 Corinthians. I'll wait for you, Bishop. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Turn your Bibles there with us, please.
Roma just got pulled back, you know. I guess that's wrong.
Second Corinthians.
No. 1 Corinthians.
Oh, my. Stop that.
That was Amen. Funny. That was funny to me.
Amen.
You're president of the country. I'm not going to do second.
In a second, you'll know.
Second Corinthians.
You mentioned grace here. God will give us the grace to run the race.
It's not the girl that lives in the next block.
No, grace from God.
Yeah.
Unmerited favor.
Mm-hmm.
You can't work for it.
Nope.
You can't work for it. You can't give enough to get it. But you got to be obedient. You got to give your obedience and your love to God. Amen. And even when we're not obedient, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even the more. Amen. But we are not to take grace for granted.
No.
Glory be to God. Thank God for his mercy. Yeah. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Are you there, sir?
I didn't know which chapter you wanted me to go to.
Chapter 9, verse 8.
Well,
okay, you can get this. So I'm just going to have to read it.
Go ahead.
And God is able to cause all grace to abound to you, so that in everything at all times, because you have enough of everything, overflow in every good work. Isn't that good? The overflow. God will cause the overflow in every good work when we decide we're going to flow in the Spirit, flow in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we will have the power and the grace to run the race that every Christian has got to run. It's a race. Glory be to God. And we're working towards getting to paradise. But we want others to come. Amen?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So Timothy learned from Paul. He learns from Paul as he's assisted him on his missionary efforts. This is a young man that was with Paul in Acts. If we go to Acts chapter 19, verse 22, don't go there, Bishop. I have it right here, hallelujah, in my phone. So after sending, verse 22, Acts 19, verse 22, so after sending two of those who were assisting him, Timothy and Aratus, to Macedonia, he himself stayed some time in Asia. So it's proven here that Timothy was with Paul on missionary trips. Second Timothy, so Timothy was learning firsthand about Paul's hardship. He saw it in action, his hardship that he endured in the gospel. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to be moving back and forth from these chapters. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. And this is about the value of the scriptures. Verse 10. But you have faithfully followed my teaching. Faithfully, see that word, follow. And I say we have to follow. Even Jesus said, what? Take up your cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. And when we decide we're going to take up our cross and follow Jesus, we'll be able to follow good leadership. Amen. Faithfully, he said, you have faithfully followed my teaching, way of life. A way of life. Paul's way of life was a holy life, a respectful life, an honorable life, one that trusted in the Lord and did what the Lord said. You have followed my teaching, my way of life, purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, see the fruit here, persecution, and suffering that happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra. What sort of persecutions? You were there to see the sort of persecutions I endured, and the Lord delivered me from all of them. So he's encouraging young Timothy here. He's saying, you saw what happened to me, but you also saw the Lord delivering me.
That's right.
So when things are happening to you in your life, and you are going through persecutions and hardship, and the bottom line is that if you're in the Lord, he is going to deliver you. He's going to come and rescue us.
Yes.
Amen. He's our strong tower. Glory be to God. He's our shield. He's our buckler. So he's saying, you saw what happened with me. Now, while you're fighting this good fight, you're going to know, based on what you've seen, based on your experience, that God is on my side. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. So he's telling him, now, you know, you took note. You took take note here. You saw what happened, and you saw what the Lord did. You saw how he came in, my God, and rescued us. Glory be to God, rescued me. You saw how he blessed me, how his grace was poured out on me. Glory be to God. And we see here, he's telling Timothy, God's grace is sufficient, son. Hallelujah. Just keep fighting, and God is going to be with you no matter where you are, no matter what's going on. God is going to be with you, Timothy. That's what he's saying. This is called encouragement, reminding him, you remember? You remember what happened in Asia? You remember what happened here and what happened there? And you remember you saw what God did, didn't you? That's our God. That's his power. We are empowered. We are empowered to do the work. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So he's telling him, entrust these things. So he entrusted the gospel to Timothy. Now Timothy must entrust it to others. Amen. The apostles' intentions for teaching and traditions are to be passed on to others. Hallelujah. Whatever you're doing is going to be passed on. Glory be to God. Other people are paying attention. And if you're in a leadership position, you want to be doing the things that you're supposed to do and do it right. God says, do what's right. Do what's just. Hallelujah. And when you're doing the thing, other people are watching. Amen. It's very important that we do it the way God said to do it and not to deviate from the truth. When we deviate from the truth, we cause harm, not only to ourselves but to others. We can cause our brothers and sisters to stumble. The Bible says don't cause your brothers and sisters to stumble, but we can cause them to stumble by what we don't do in terms of the word of God. Amen, in terms of walking holy. Glory be to God. We got to follow the teachings and the traditions and pass them on to other people. Pass them on by going on, by staying in the race, by staying in the fight. Hallelujah. No matter what the persecution, no matter what the trial, we stay in the fight. But not by our own power. We're empowered by the grace of God. Hallelujah. By the power of God that lives within us. Greater is he in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Greater is he in us than anything that's going on, that is going on, that's tough in your life.
Uh-huh.
He's greater.
And the final
Hallelujah.
The final thing right there.
Go ahead, sir.
So easy, just what he said. After all these things, he said, yes, the Lord rescued me from all of them.
He from all. Because our God is all in. Our God sees it all, knows it all, and is everywhere at the same time, and he's all in with us. He said, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. You can't look at another brother and say, oh, I ain't going to never go there. I'm never going to do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. When somebody come and they've made a mistake and we're in leadership position, oh, how could you? Oh, how would you? How could you? Why you did that? How could you do that? No.
What about all what you did?
That's not. No. Yeah, what about where you came from?
That's right.
We're not supposed to act like we've never been, that we've never had trouble before. We're not supposed to act like we never sinned before. We all were sinners that need the Lord to bring us into salvation. Amen?
You're only acting like you never did anything.
Yeah, acting. So that's not right. Don't come at them like that. Be gentle like Paul was. Be loving and kind and say, you know, we need to have a talk. And you go and have a talk with them. And you be gentle and loving and kind. You don't point the finger at them and fuss with them and be angry with them like I never. Uh-uh, no. The only never I really believe in is that Lord, the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsaken you. Glory be to God. I believe that never. Oh, I believe that never. Hallelujah. But if somebody come to me and say, I never, no, you might have not never murdered, but sin is sin. But sin is sin. I never did that. Well, you never did that, but what did you do? What did you do? So we're not supposed to point our fingers like that. Never would have made it. Hallelujah. Never. That's one thing I could say. I never would have made it without Jesus Christ, and I'm never going to make it to paradise without Jesus. If you got Jesus, praise God. Got Jesus because it's hell without him. Got Jesus. You got Jesus because it's hell without him. Hallelujah. We're not going to go to paradise. Living like hell in this earth, we're not going to paradise. And hell is nothing like, you know, on earth like it is, really is. Read about hell in the Bible. Let's go on. We got to finish this lesson now. We're going to be closing in a few.
Yeah,
we got to get the prayer of salvation in.
Yeah.
So Paul is saying trust the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Trust those who's walking circumspectly before the Lord.
Yes.
Trust those who are living their lives and doing things as doing it unto the Lord.
Yes.
Colossians tells us, do everything as doing it unto the Lord, because the Lord is watching it. How would you treat God? How are you supposed to treat the things of God? How are you supposed to think of God? Almighty, beautiful,
yes,
loving, kind, compassionate.
Yeah, not the
my
man
God.
Upstairs.
Not the man upstairs. Yahweh Messiah. Yahweh Messiah, the Christ.
Whoa, what's the man upstairs?
Jesus Christ.
The man upstairs might be your Lambo.
What man upstairs? The man that live upstairs over your head?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
The one that's swinging the drum.
Who is your Lord? I say mine is Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Paul entrusted this gospel to Timothy. And he's letting him know that you got to stay qualified. You can be qualified and be fired. Qualified and be fired. Doing some things in the church and you're fired.
You disqualify
because you have decided, because people have decided, I'm going my own way.
Okay.
I'm one way when I'm in the building, but I'm another way when I'm out the building. Amen. Hallelujah. So Timothy has the qualification of a competent teacher. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. He's telling Timothy what an overseer must be like, a leader. But Timothy has these qualifications, but he's learning. And he's seen so much. And he has a very qualified teacher, spiritual father.
Yes, yes.
Paul is telling us, therefore the overseer must be irreproachable, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, skillful in teaching. That's the qualification.
Yeah.
And this was especially needed to be told to young Timothy,
mm-hmm,
because of the threat of false teachers.
Yes.
There was a threat of false teachers in that church, threatening them, because Paul brought it to the attention of young Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a threat. Now let's take care of it. Amen? So in chapter 2, verse 3, let's go back up there. I just want to point this out. Chapter 2, verse 3. Hallelujah.
You know, that verse.
Go ahead.
Only one wife. If your wife crosses over, that means you can't get married anymore? No, I don't think that's that. I think it meant like you were allowed to have multiple wives in that culture. But if you are going to be the leader, you should just have only one wife, because you have more responsibility if you got four or five wives, you know, like they were allowed to have.
Yeah, right.
I would believe that was the way it was meant.
One wife, one woman.
Yes. No. One wife, the only woman. Not
yeah.
One wife and one woman on the side. No.
One wife, one woman in your life is what I meant when I said
that. Okay.
Not another woman, too. Not another man. Not another woman.
One
wife. But he says here, mm-hmm, as we go back to verse 2, he's telling him that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for all human beings, including kings, people in high positions,
mm-hmm,
and all in positions of prominence, positions of authority, so that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives, being godly and upright in everything.
Yeah.
And this is what is emphasized here also in chapter 2, in chapter 3, where we just, you know, we went to chapter 3,
mm-hmm,
and emphasized here. Glory be to God. So we thank God that we know that suffering is all a part of it. Jesus suffered, and we must partake of the suffering of Jesus. So in chapter 2, verse 3, he says, suffer together. But some believers deserted Paul because of the shame of his imprisonment. So Paul is saying we must suffer together. When one brother is suffering, another brother is supposed to feel for that brother. It's supposed to be there to help that brother or that sister, to give a helping hand, to give a hand up. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. He said, do not be ashamed, verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor me, his prisoner, but suffer along with me for the gospel according to the power of God. Suffer along with me. We got to go along with our brothers and sisters. Whatever is going on, we say we're a part of that. We're a part of that. When you're not having a, when there's something going on in your life, your brother and your sister got your back. Amen. We're not going to be like Cain, who said to the Lord, am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, you are.
If you're in Jesus Christ, you're supposed to be there for your brother. You're supposed to be there to give whatever you have in you to give to your brother that's needed at the time. Because, see, God will allow you to be experienced enough to be able to minister, to counsel. Jesus Christ is our counselor. Hallelujah. And God, when we know the word, we're able to counsel. We're able to, especially if we have gone through the same thing. If we've been through the same thing, we are anointed to help that person because we went through that. Hallelujah. You see, I always tell people this, and I know this from experience, and it's because of what God has shown me, not because of anything I knew already. He let me know that what you have been through and what you are going through right now is not just for you. Yes, it is for your experience. Yes, it is for your good. But it's also that you can teach, that you can help someone else. Amen. You went through the suffering, but just like Jesus Christ, he went through the suffering, but he went through the suffering for us. Amen. So we go through suffering, but we don't just go through suffering for us. We go through suffering for others. Amen. To keep up, to help them, to comfort. Hallelujah. To help, to comfort. That's what the Holy Spirit does, and that's what we have in us. We have mercy. We have love. We have kindness. We have all these things in us because that's all part of the Spirit. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to be able to help others. But it comes with some suffering. People don't want to hear about suffering. But you know what? It's good. It's good. Lord, I thank you. It didn't feel good. I'm not going to sit up here and lie and say, oh, that's real good. No, it didn't. It was painful. It was, and even sometimes it might have been some type of embarrassment or humiliation. I don't know. But nevertheless, it came for a purpose. God allowed it so that other people would be helped through our testimony.
Yes. Yes.
Look, I've been through that. I know what it feels like. You can say for certain I've been there. Mm-hmm. And what does that do? It gives us that mercy. It gives us that compassion.
Yeah.
It gives us that, you feel, you know, you're passing on mercy.
Yeah.
My God, I feel for you. I feel for you, my brother. I know how it feels. I know how it hurts. I've been through that, done that, been there. Amen? That's the purpose of God. And some people say, well, if God is so good, why? God is good because we can do good through what we experience.
Mm-hmm.
It is good. When God said, don't despise his chastisement, don't despise what we go through, it's because it's good for us.
Yes.
It teaches us, and it gives us strength.
Hallelujah.
And it gives us more and more trust. we trust our faith. We believe and we know, okay, God, you were with me there, and I know you're with me now. Hallelujah. You brought me out, God. You made a way out of no way, God. You got my back up off the wall, God. Hallelujah. God, when I was sick, you healed me, God. When I was in need, God, you provided that need, God. My Lord, hallelujah. And so when somebody else is in need, God will allow you to be there. Because now you got the experience. He's not going to put you somewhere where you're not ready for, that you're not ready for. That's not our God. He prepares you. He gives you that readiness to be the one to help. God is the ever-present help in the time of trouble. And how is he helping? God helps through miracles. God helps through giving. All of his giving. It's a help. It's a help, and it helps others to believe. Hallelujah. When you see a miracle taking place, God does it for his glory. Right. Not just so you could have a story, but he does it for his glory so other people can see the hands of God move, see a God movement, hallelujah, that no man can do. Nobody can do what God does, mm-hmm. even if it's something minute. God allows it. God did it. Amen.
Amen.
And certainly nobody can do a miracle. Nobody can heal your body.
Nope.
Nobody but God can heal you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's move on. We got a couple more scriptures and then we're out of here.
We got time?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for me. For people. Not me.
Of one mind, single, one, single-minded in his devotion to the concerns and the interest of Jesus Christ. Paul repeats this in his illustration about Bethel. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm skipping over some scriptures because there's so many. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we need this one. Now, Paul is using this illustration here, verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. Now in a great house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also wooden and earthenware ones, some of which are for honorable use, some of which are for ordinary use. Therefore, if someone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honorable use. Set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Isn't that good? You got to be prepared for every good work. And God knows very well how to prepare us. We are his vessels. If we want to be used by God, we have to be a vessel of honor. Amen. We talk about it all the time. Paul encourages Timothy to rely on God to give him insight into all of what he is saying. So chapter 2, verses 8 to 13, and this will be pretty much our last one. Chapter 2. Verses 8 to 18, that's what I see on my phone here. Yeah. And here, Paul is explaining his reason for enduring hardship. Therefore, mute the phone, please. Thank you all. Mute your phone, please. Everyone, mute your phone. Therefore, it is my wish that when the men pray, no matter where, they should lift up holy hands. I think I read that. Yeah. Okay.
Not only is it high spirit, but it could be for spirit. So,
we have to be fully submitted. He's talking about fully submitted here.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to exercise authority over a man. We're talking about the woman should remain at peace, for Adam was formed first, then Hava. Also, it was not Adam who was deceived, but it's the woman who, being deceived, became involved in the transgression. Nevertheless, the woman will be delivered through childbearing, provided that she continues trusting, loving, and living a holy life in modesty. So he's teaching him about the role of woman as well. And also in Ephesians, we see how the Lord teaches us about a woman submitting to a man submitting to a woman. So, you know, we got to submit to each other. Children submit to parents. So Paul is very just laying out for young Timothy. He's explaining the reason why we have to continue to spread the word, because we need it to be constantly submitted to God. Submitted and submitted, like you always say. It's an effective, it's very effective. In submission.
Okay, bring the pipe up high, and come up from the pipe up, and then come down and drop back in here. So that if somebody come to service the
Apostle.
Apostle. Sorry. I didn't know my phone on hold off. Let me
right,
take
girl.
It on mute.
The other thing. That's the 2:8. Chapter 2. In verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8.
Chapter 2, verse 8 to 18. That's what you said.
Yeah, I know. But I just want to do verse 8. You got it? Anyway, it refers to the resurrection. I know what it is. It refers to the resurrection, the foundation of the Christian faith. Yeah. Go ahead.
Remember, Jesus Christ raised from the dead.
Amen. Which is the foundation of the Christian faith.
Descended from David.
Mm-hmm.
This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a animal, like a criminal. Animal, criminal.
He was treated like a criminal, yes. And he emphasized how humiliating it was. It's the humiliating nature of Paul's imprisonment in Rome.
Yes, yes.
All right. Yes. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 13, let's read that. But when the Jews from Thessalonica found out the message of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea, also they came there too, inciting and stirring up crowds to making trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, the gospel message was going on there. And during Paul's previous Acts chapter 17 and verse 13, during his imprisonment in Rome, Paul shared the gospel with the emperor's elite bodyguard, Phil. Even the members of Caesar's household became believers. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Philippians chapter 4 verse 22 tells us about that. Amen. So, when we summarize here, it's just a wonderful thing to be known as somebody trustworthy, to be known as someone that's able to be taught and then able to lead as they have been taught. Hallelujah. And able to know that we must partake of the sufferings of Christ. Hallelujah. And Paul acknowledges his present sufferings while anticipating future blessings. He know that his suffering would allow him to be given future blessings. Amen? Hallelujah. He says here in Philippians, he said he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. That he's talking about Jesus. Therefore, also God exalted him and graciously granted him the name above every name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you. He says, if we die with him in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, if we die with him, he's telling all this to young Timothy, Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we have become identified with him in the likeness of his death, certainly also we will be identified with him in the likeness of his resurrection. So we're going to have some glorified bodies. Amen. And everything he's saying to Timothy, everything I'm saying to you is genuine. And Timothy was a witness to much of what Paul went through. Amen. So also what Paul is saying, even though many people going on, which means it's an abandonment of the faith, it does not affect how God feels about us. It does not affect God's faithfulness, his commitment to his mission, and his mission is to continue to be our Savior. His mission is that people, the mission of the cross was so that people would be saved. Glory be to God. And God is working through his people so that people can continue to get saved and continue to know and learn how to work out their salvation by walking holy. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I want to say here right now before we close that the church is always going to face persecution. So 2 Timothy is a personal thing, just like 1 Timothy is. And you see, as we have gone through these two chapters, that the first one was about order in the church, and the second chapter is about endurance. It's about how to endure. And how do we endure? Through the power of God. If we're empowered through the Holy Spirit to do the will of the Father. So the second chapter is about endurance in the church. If we are going to maintain that order, we need to endure to maintain order in the church, because the church lives under much hardship. The church lives under much attack, both inside the church and outside the church. Is that right? As we look at the news and as we look at everything that's going on in our society, in the culture, and it looks like it just gets worse. It's worse and worse. And we look at it, and it gives us grief to see what all is going on. It looks like all the things that we once loved so much, you know, or like we used to enjoy going to the movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just one thing. Yeah. And even going to church sometimes can be so devastating. Yeah. When you see some things going on there, and when you hear about what's going on there, it's a devastating thing. It's grievous. And even going to the movie, you can hardly find a decent movie to go watch. Not that movies are of great importance, because they're not. But even going out to the parks and going out to shop and things we enjoy doing, going on vacations, now you got to be super-duper careful, because the things we once enjoyed and the peace that, you know, we can go places late at night and walk. You could walk anywhere late at night. Now we wouldn't do it. You know, we could walk anywhere late at night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you could walk. Yeah, going places, going to the supermarket now. Now some are afraid to go to the supermarket because people are being gunned down. We see all these things, and y'all know what I'm talking about. So, but there's a message here of endurance. We've got to go on in spite of everything that's going on in our culture today. We must go on. Hallelujah. It's not like we're going to get some power because we're powerful, because, you know, I go to the gym. I got muscles. I got strength. It's not that kind of strength. It's spiritual strength. Amen? Right. Amen. And many people are muscular and supposedly in good health, and they drop dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've seen that happen. But we're talking about spiritual health here. We're talking about spiritual endurance here. And that is what chapter 2 is basically. If you summarize it, that's basically what it is. It means we must continue by the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit to stir up the gifts that God has given us. And we will be strengthened by Christ's grace. We talked about grace in this chapter. And if you are strengthened by the grace of Yeshua Messiah, you're no longer afraid of your own weaknesses. Come on now. Because our weaknesses will be used for his strength.
Okay.
Ah, Jesus, that's so good. Our weaknesses are going to be like a playground for his strength. Amen? And the devil will use your mind as his playground if he's allowed, because he gets into the head. That's where he starts. Like Bishop always says, he'll inject the thought in your mind. You know, he'll inject the thought. That's all he can do. But endurance means right standing, rightly handling God's word. That's very, very important. This is what Timothy was being taught. We got to rightly handle the word of God.
Yes,
God's word is our wisdom. God's word is our guiding light. He's our guiding light. Hallelujah. Endurance means that we want to be an honorable vessel. We talked about that in this chapter too. And you see, I don't want my life to get in the way of what God has called me to do. Bishop doesn't want to get in the way. We got to get out of God's way, but stay in the way of truth.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? Yeah. So we want to stay in the way of truth, but we want to get out of the way trying to do what only God can do. So it means...
That's why he's
telling
me not.
Yes, amen. So it means being ready for every good work, being prepared, able to be spontaneous when necessary. We don't know when God will give us an opportunity, but we have to be positioned, be ready, so we can step in. We're in an opportunity that God will give us, and we're prepared to minister, prepared to do the job. Amen? And it also means what this book is saying, chapter 2, as we went through it. It gives you the mind. It gives you an understanding that we got to avoid foolishness. Avoid the foolish controversy. You don't have to have an opinion on everything. You know, we don't have to say everything that's on our mind. We don't. God said, be peaceable, and be a quiet spirit. Amen? Peaceable with all men. So we don't have to get involved in debate. We don't have to answer to everything that people say. Hallelujah. It's best to be a good listener. Amen? You don't have to have an opinion on everything. Feel like you're a know-it-all. You think you're a know-it-all because you got an opinion. Opinion is not always true. Most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, people give you opinions and don't know what's going on. But there are things that are worth avoiding. We got to avoid some things. Definitely don't debate the Bible. And when somebody tells you God told them something that God said to do, don't debate with that person about that. I always say, okay, you say God said it, that's between you and God. I don't have anything to do with that. God told me this, God told me that, God said go here. Okay, that's between you and God. Don't be saying, well, I don't think you, I don't, you know. No, don't do all that. We need to stay being mindful of our own business. But when God asks us to step in, we got to step in, okay? So that's basically what God was saying, what God is telling us in chapter 2. There's so much needless debate, so much angry talking. Oh, have you ever been on Twitter? It's not going to help you endure. We're talking about endurance in chapter 2. That's not going to help you endure. It's not helping you to grow. Or certain programs you're watching, is it helping you to grow? Is it certain people you're listening to? Is it helping you to grow? it's not helping us to love Jesus more. Listen to that foolishness and then get involved in that foolishness on Twitter and in Facebook, social media. We need to avoid that stuff. But we also learned in this chapter that we got to be gentle. We got to correct others with gentleness. Wow. Gentleness. Angry. Not pointing the finger. Not being arrogant. But social media is not known for no gentleness. No, you read some of that stuff. I hardly ever go. I have a Facebook page, but I hardly ever go to Facebook unless my family or someone I'm in ministry with may tell me they posted something. So there's despicable communication going on. Despicable things on television, the media, the radio, all the social media. And correction should be done with gentleness. If you know somebody that's involved in that stuff, we just got to be gentle about it and ask God to give us to give us the mindset to speak to these people in a way that's respectful, gentle, loving, being kind. Imagine. I can't even imagine where I would be right now without God. I can't even, don't want to even try. Okay? So we need God. We need the Lord to lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness. So stand firm in God's word. And we will, if we stand firm, we're going to endure in God's word. My God. Thank you, Jesus. And remember, all scripture is breathed out, like Paul said, by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the woman or the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. God will equip us through training, trials, tribulation, even good experiences. But it all turns out to be good because it's done for the good. Amen. So again, I say stand firm in God's word, and you will endure to the end. You will come to the end of the race, and you will be able to finish. You will be able to come to a good finish. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. That's what this message is about. Hallelujah. Fighting the good fight, and we'll be able to endure. But we don't have to fight alone. So today, if you don't know Jesus, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. No better time than right now. For the next second, the next minute, the next day may be too late. Accept him now and repent. If there are no those on the line that's listening and you never received Jesus, this is it. Bishop, go ahead. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this word, and we are done for the day. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yeah. Thank God for all of you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's your opportunity. But the scripture says in the book of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 16 to 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. That's how much God loves us. He sent his only begotten Son, God in the flesh, Jesus. Have mercy. Now, God knew that we were only dust. If you go to the book of Romans in chapter 3, verse 23, the word of God says, for God knew that we all we all sin and fall short of his glory every day. Because we're made of dust, God says we're pitiful, and we are. You know, that's why he knew that through him, through Jesus Christ, that we could be saved. The word of God says in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given that mankind, that to no other name under heaven that to mankind by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And that's in the book of Acts, chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Bishop did not write this Bible. Bishop did not inspire this Bible, only God Almighty. And who would know better than God? Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Romans, confession is made. The book of Romans, okay, let's go to that. Let's go to that book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And what does it say, Bishop? Okay. Verse 8 says, salvation is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you must speak it out loud. Because as Apostle just said just a few minutes ago, the enemy can inject thoughts in your mind, but he can't read your mind. Mm-hmm. So you have to speak it out. Speak it and put it in the atmosphere. Jesus, I believe that you went to Calvary and suffered and died on the way to Calvary. You suffered. Got on Calvary, hung on that cross, and died to save me and all mankind. You bled and died for me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your obedience to the Father. He came down to earth and took all the sins of the world on his shoulders that we might be saved. Now, if you believe that Jesus did this for you, in verse 9 it says, if you believe Jesus died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, and you really and truly mean it, you're now saved. Very simple. You must speak it out, and you must repent. And repentance is not returning to the way that you were living previously. Before you decided to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, glory be to God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you're a brother or sister, and you, excuse me, brother or sister, and you have strayed away from the faith, come back home, brothers and sisters. Don't resist. Don't resist. Only resist the devil. Don't resist Jesus, because he is the door. He is the only way. And it's just, I just told you, book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Read it for yourself. The only name, entire Bible, that's written that for mankind must be saved. Okay. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, Peter said, and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are whom the Lord our God will call. So you have to repent, just as I told you. It's said in the book of Romans, you know, repent, 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 repent. Do not go back to the way you were previously living. I don't care what you were doing before you made this confession. Don't go back and start doing the same thing again. You know, because as Apostle said earlier, what person knows when their life is going to be over, when the Lord will require our soul? So if you have to do it every day, you know, Father, I believe. I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Okay? Now, invite everybody to your baptism. People you don't know, neighbors, co-workers, enemies, siblings, other family members, neighbors, co-workers, whatever. Invite everybody to your baptism. And if your church does not baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, as the apostles did, okay, that's God's word, not bishops. That's God's word. You have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 12 of Acts, it states that. There's no other name mentioned on heaven to mankind, that mankind should be saved. Now, if you've made that confession, make sure that you invite, if you want to stay in the church you're in, that's fine. I'm not telling you to come out of your church. Just ask the pastor to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in the Bible, you know. And if he or she doesn't baptize you in that way, you can be baptized by someone who will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying, oh, leave the church because they don't baptize that way. Hey, I did not write this. Well, the Spirit inspired. This was inspired by the Holy Spirit, not Bishop Washington. Nope, by God Almighty himself. Now, I say thank you. God bless you. Remember to repent of all of your sins. And if you get baptized, or if you've never been baptized, or if you're a prodigal son or daughter and you've rededicated your life to Jesus, so be it. You can come and tell us if it's your first time. If you're listening, speak up and tell us, yes, I'm going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I accepted Jesus as my Savior today. And thank you, Lord. Don't thank Bishop. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm only an ambassador like you are. You know, I just have a title that was given to me to do an assignment to draw people into Christ Jesus for salvation. That's my job. Praise the Lord. And I pray that the good Lord says, well, you've done a fine job, Bishop. You've got 4 billion people that you've led to salvation. Hallelujah. Or one. As long as I lead somebody to salvation, to eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this assignment. Oh, glory to your holy name, Father God. I encourage you, please, receive Jesus as your Savior today. Now, congratulations. God bless each and every one of you and your family and your friends. In Jesus' name we pray. And we're through. Amen, amen, and amen. It's back to you, Apostle. Apostle Linda. Apostle Linda.
Yes.
Okay.
Praise God. Thank you, Bishop, for that wonderful prayer of salvation. And we are rejoicing in advance for those that have received or will receive the Lord as their Redeemer, Savior. Hallelujah. We thank God in advance for it. Because the Holy Spirit is powerful. And he's able to save anywhere you are in the world. The word of the Lord is there. Amen.
Amen.
His word is in his book, the Bible, all 66 books you have as a reference to get to know Yeshua, Messiah, our Savior. Get your dictionary, biblical dictionary, and Carter, the Bibles, different Bibles. I really especially like the Jewish Bible. I like the Jewish Bible. And I like the King James New Version and also the NLT. It's good. So get your Bibles, you know, get several Bibles and read and study to show yourself approved. And you will learn the ways of God through His Word by reading and studying and spending time with the Lord, just sitting still. He said, be still and know I'm God. So just be still, take some deep breaths, sit there, and, you know, we can start out by thanking God. Thanking God, praising God, and going to worship, and just be still. And then just begin to, you know, if you want to pray, if the Lord is leading you to pray, to intercede, or if he's just leading you just to be still and to read his word, and then you will hear the Lord speak to you as to what he's saying in his word. You will get revelation knowledge. When you desire to have it, you have it. The Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And one of those desires is that you get to know him. He wants us all to get to know him and to have a relationship with him. And so therefore, I know through experience that God will lead you. God will teach you, lead you, keep you, provide for you, protect you. All these things he does will make a way out of no way. That's our God. And as we experience him, we'll get to know that through experience. And then we'll be able to pass it on to others. Because God will use you. He'll use us if we allow him to do so. Amen. So allow God to use you today. If you haven't already, glory be to God. But most of all, spend time with him to get to know the Lord. The only way to be intimate is to get to know the person. We get to know the Lord, and we'll become intimate with him. We'll learn what's his take on everything concerning our lives. What's God's take? What is God saying about it? Amen. And that's what we follow. We follow what God says to follow. Amen. If the people that we're in ministry with is following the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, following the word, teaching sound doctrine, then you can. Then we can. We can follow. And we'll know them by their spirit. But you'll know. You stay there a while, you'll find out. You'll find out whether they're a spirit of God or if there's some strange doctrine or if they're involved in some type of Satanism or whatever. You will know. Amen. We will know. So let's just stay in tune with the Holy Spirit at all times. Hallelujah. And just inquire of him when there's an issue. Inquire of God first and foremost than anyone else. Inquire of God. And there will be times when God will lead someone to you and they'll already know what's going on. Amen. That's right. That's right. Follow God and leave all of the consequences up to him. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. So we've enjoyed this. It's always a pleasure to come and just to minister the word of God. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege. And Bishop and I just absolutely adore Jesus, and we love him, and we love to do his work. Amen. We love to do the work of the Lord. And we love to come and fellowship with you all. It's such a pleasure to know that there are believers on the line who have the same mindset like we do. And then we know sometimes they believe there are people on the line that are not really believers. You know, we know that too. But nevertheless, we believe in God, and we believe that he is here for us. Amen. Amen. So that will conclude. Bishop has done the prayer of salvation. If Apostle Callender cannot come in right now, that's fine. But if anybody else has anything to say about the word or how you feel about something that we've said, go right ahead. The line is open. We will leave it open for a few minutes for anybody that wants to comment. Amen. Amen. My Bishop. Thank you once again, Apostle Cal. Bishop?
Yes,
close the line, please.
Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless in the presence of his glory. His glory, honor, and praise to the only wise God. Glory, honor, and praise. Dominion and power. Now, amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good evening.
Bless you.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Well, be looking forward to seeing from you tomorrow.
Amen. Bye-bye.
I just want to say before you go, Apostle, that the word was awesome. I heard a lot of it today. I brought it in. Are you going already? Anyway. Hi, so I thank you so much for the word. It was just right on time. And Prophetess Shell was on the line. He jumped off a little while ago, just shortly before you close. Deacon Fraser was on the line. So God bless you all. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll talk to you when I get off from here, call you, okay? God bless you, and thanks again, Apostle and Bishop.